Hello and welcome backstage. My name is Alin Pandaru and I will try to take you behind the scenes of the music industry. Today we are at the Virgin Radio Romania headquarters because I have not one special guest but two special guests. They are one of the most energetic duo in the dance scene and they headline the best festivals in the world and at some point they did the first underwater set in history. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce you Sanery James and Ryan Marciano, or should I say Sanery Gore and Ryan Delange?
Wow, yeah. Amazing.
Now, wait. I think this is actually the first time ever someone mentioned that.
Really? You did your homework.
It's on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I know, but you did your homework.
Guys, first of all, thank you for being here. Welcome back
thank
to Romania. I will take you back to the roots. We will start with the beginning. Yeah. So tell me, how was your childhood? How was for you to grow up in Amsterdam?
Yeah, for me, I grew up with music, of course. My father, he was collecting like a bunch of stuff, like from rock to like reggae. And my mom was also doing a lot of music in salsa and merengue, so very different. And I think that's where we also have like very different styles in our music, because we were listening to
very different.
And when I got a little older, my father started collecting house music, and then it was the first for me into house music, and then I just started collecting music myself, listening, but never was like, okay, I'm gonna be a DJ. I was watching like Chester movies and Bob Sinclair, and yeah. I was like, okay, this is fun for those guys, but I'm never gonna go up there and do this, you know. It was just fun for me, for myself. And then we just met and we start just doing it.
Yeah, it actually kind of happened to us in a way.
Yeah. That we How did you guys meet? I know it's a very funny story.
Yeah, so my football was like a little bit on the side already. I had a chance in a big team back then. I went, but I was already in my mind. I was like, okay, probably is not for me. But we met in the store. I was working one or two times a week, and the manager told me, from now on, you got a responsibility for the interns. And the moment he said that, the next day he walks in. Late was the last day for him to get an internship, and I hired him. And from day one, we got this same like sense of humor. It's always start with humor. When you can laugh together, that's when you get a connection. And we found out that we were collecting the same kind of music. Back then it was garage. It was a lot of garage vibes, and we loved that both. But also the Latin blood, Suriname. My mom, same thing, was listening to all the salsa tracks and stuff. And then we start playing around, just making music. Didn't even know what we were doing, just mixing songs and making own edits. And then a friend of mine actually came to me. He didn't have money for big DJs. And he noticed that we have all those finals in our room. He said, listen, you have all this music. You can fill 4 hours for a
four
show,
hours,
right?
Oh my God.
I will pay you $50 and you play for me. $50? Wow, let's do it. Yeah. And that's how it actually started a little bit.
50 euros and free drinks. Well, yeah, why not?
Amazing deal.
It's a good thing that you don't have to pay for the drinks.
Yeah.
I think the drinks were more expensive than
I never thought of that. It's true.
But we always think from the $50 you can buy new records. So that's how you were thinking.
Well, actually, you could only buy five because back then we still played with vinyl, and you only could buy five vinyl.
Yeah, it was 10 euros, 11 euros sometimes.
Yeah, that's five tracks. That's 15 minutes in your set. 20.
I know.
Yeah, so
it's a good deal.
So in that particular party became very popular. So big promoters and you know, the party people, they came to the parties and start talking about our style, because obviously we were doing something they never heard, and we didn't even know we played something they never heard. It was just the vibe we had. It was really tribalist, groovy, housey, and that picked up by a ferry, and then other clubs start booking us.
For promoters, it was very easy to book us because we would play very drummy, a lot of drums, rhythms,
and cheap.
Exactly. Promoters, you listening? Yeah. No, but everything was very electro, and so they could put us any time of the night, and we play in a different sound, and people would still
love it.
So that's why we got a lot of shows back then, I think.
I know we were very happy when we got our first show out of Amsterdam in Holland. We go, oh, we're going national.
Yeah.
We're making
Let's go on the highway.
So, and actually, then IDNT came in, IDNT, one of the biggest organizations in the world, dance organizations, they came and they say, oh, we want to try you out one time in Mysteryland. And we're like,
yeah, Mr. Man is big.
I know.
I mean, it was 11 in the morning, but still you had a play on Mysteryland.
We had to play 11 in the morning. There was no one there.
So, but it was an amazing experience to be there to see how it goes. And it was more organized. It was really professional. So it was good that, and they start supporting us a little bit by bit. They gave us shows there. They start doing club shows with us. And that's how within 3-4 years, I think we did Sensation Amsterdam opening in the big arena. And that for us, that's when we first started looking at each other. Are like, this shit is getting serious.
Getting
an agency, we have to talk about photo shoots, and now we're here. I mean, we could never dream about it, but it's happening, and we're still having fun. I think the day we stop having fun, we're gonna quit. It's still this dream we're living, and look at each other like, wow, it's happening, you know? Yeah.
You were with Tomorrowland from like their very beginning.
Yes.
How was Tomorrowland at the beginning? Because everybody knows, I know, the After movies from 2012 when it boomed. But how was Tomorrowland before?
I think we have the luck, actually. We blessed that we were there. I think we played the second or third ever Tomorrowland when they first started. It was all of a spin-off of Mysteryland in Holland. And then they started in Boom in Belgium. They created a whole space. And they have an amazing creative team. And that's made the difference.
But it was great back then. But it wasn't like what's going on now.
Now it's huge.
Yeah.
And actually what we found out was we did a show at Armin in Colombia. And then we saw all those promotions of Tomorrowland. And I'm like, Tomorrowland?
That
I mean, we know Tomorrowland. What is the big hype around Tomorrowland? And then we went online and we saw what's going on with Tomorrowland. And I called the agent, we have to play Tomorrowland. No, but we because we grew up with it, and sometimes you don't appreciate things what's close to you. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's Tomorrowland. But then you see how much appreciation they had around the world. And what's and around that time, I think 6-7 years ago, that's when they started really blowing up. Yeah. And they booked us. And we were the same guys, same people. And we looked at each other like, wow, you grew and we grew. And now we're here together again. So we saw how they became bigger. And it's a lot of dedication and passion for what they're doing. And that's the same thing with us. So yeah, we kind of...
Even every time we start our set, the guys come to us and like tell us like, you guys need to play your shit.
Yeah.
You know what you do. You know, play the drums, whatever you feel like, you know. That's why, and that's, what an artist wants also, you know. You want to express yourself in your own way.
And that's the power of Tomorrowland. They give the artist a chance to be an artist, to don't please the crowd. I mean, you have to please the crowd, but do you, because we book you for your sound. So that's what it is.
That's the reason that we book artists.
Exactly.
Because they don't want every artist to play like the same thing.
Shit. Exactly.
Everybody has their own style, and you have like one distinct style.
But we had an era, we're coming out now, that a lot of DJs were playing the same records over and over and over, but now we're getting out of it finally. And you see, for the dancing, it's a good thing because people can enjoy a lineup in with different music.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, if you buy a ticket to go to a festival, we want to hear different music, not 5 hours the same thing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You guys were this year, maybe when I will publish this, it will be last year. You were like 2 times, and this is like the 3rd time here in Romania. We're at After Hills, at Never See, and now at Untold, that you didn't know.
Yeah.
You were also at Untold.
Yes. And we did, I think 6 years ago, our first show, first play, we warmed up for Armin in the Polyvalent Hall. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's where we found out about Romania. Like,
what
we
do
love
you think about
place.
Romanians EDM scene?
I think if you say EDM, you disrespect the Romanians, because no, but the thing is, they know more about EDM. They open minded. They know music, and they're passionate about it. So the energy you get back from the Romanian crowd is next level always. They really enjoy every part, and if you play new music, they open for it. They only want to hear the hits. They want to hear new stuff, and that's good for a DJ, even when you want to try to play new records.
I remember the first time we came, they were all watching us like, okay, what are those guys? What's going to happen? But then they see, then they feel like, okay, this is good, this is nice, and then they give you like the props.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
We like that. They really like, they're not too judgmental. in the beginning. They're open-minded. And yeah,
we kind of are. Like, as a nation, we really are open-minded, and we try to absorb everything from every...
And it's a lot of positive energy. That's what we get when we come to the country. It's a lot of positive energy, and that's what we always try to give. So it really connects. It really connects, yeah.
What do you think about Untold?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you have Tomorrowland and then you have Untold, because Untold is like another level also. You know, I've never seen a festival like this. Yeah, just a stadium full to the max, and everyone is going crazy the entire day.
Yeah, and you can't compare
entire
Tomorrowland.
Night, because
you go from daytime till night. Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's even finishing in the morning, of course. I've never seen something like that.
But you can't really compare Tomorrowland and Untold. It's two different experiences.
It's very different.
But they stand next to each other, because I must say, and not because we're in Romania, we say it everywhere when we do interviews, what are one of the most sickest places you ever played? I mean, we love clubs, we love Brazil, we always say Green Valley, but if you talk about energy-wise, big crowd, I think nowhere in the world you can beat Untold. And we go around the world. But to have a full stadium and going wild in sync, that's it's almost overwhelming. The first time we played, I got scared almost. Like, we don't want to fuck it up for Armin after us, you know? Yeah. But the crowd went till 7 in the morning. It was unbelievable.
I think we had one magical moment there when we did You Are with Armin together, and then everyone put their phones up in the air with the lights, and then the entire stadium
lighted
up.
Magnitude of
I get goosebumps right now thinking of.
And even Armin, and he knows, I mean, he played around the world. He got even goosebumps when he saw that. He was like, in Dutch, oh my God, you know, and that's Armin. So you gonna, that's what it's Untold doing to artists. It's really good.
Yeah. As I don't know, from people from the audience, I think it's amazing. But for you to be on the stage and see all that stadium, I think it's
to get the energy. That's what DJs feed off. That's what they get the energy off and the power to go on and on and on and on. Yeah, that's what it is.
So a lot of people ask us, like, what do you guys eat in Holland, drink in Holland, because there's so many DJs, but what do you guys eat? How you can party here like that?
Well, we're just hitting the vibes now.
Yeah.
For us, I don't know, a big festival like Untold is something new. Because in Amsterdam they had this kind of festival
since forever.
Yeah. We started like 2013 with Electric Castle, which was a big festival, and all then Untold with 2015. And things are, there's a
scene coming up now, dance scene in Romania.
Yes, it's growing, and there's a hunger for these kinds of events. And every time we get the opportunity to be there, to be with thousands of people around us, it's...
I show the world, the whole world is watching.
Yeah,
really.
And now the whole... Yeah. And I'm really impressed that artists love it here. Artists talk about Untold and Never See, and the festivals in Romania. And many artists come to Untold because they heard from other artists.
I know.
Dude, you have to play there. It's amazing.
Yeah. I know from an artist, he almost cried when he got off stage. It's really, I'm not gonna, I don't want to put him on the spot, but he told me, like, I almost cried. It was such an overwhelming thing. He didn't expect it. Yeah.
First edition of Untold, Armin really cried.
I know. He told me.
And he's in love with.
Yeah. Come on, Romania. I mean, what I have to say, it's like they have so much positive and they're proud. I think also proud of what they're doing. It's an amazing production. And to be part of it, to be Romanian and see it is happening.
Yeah, and see a lot of international artists and international guests to be impressed by this. Yeah. It's really, really great. Nice. Because here don't... not many things happen. So when we have this, an event of this magnitude, it's wow.
Yeah, and the whole world is, that's what I'm saying, the whole world is watching.
We had Gheorghe Hagi, Nadia Comăneci, Simona Halep, and Untold. I mean, when people say Romania, they have Untold.
I love Hagi, he's still one of my favorite players.
Football. tell me about your relationship with Armin van Buuren. How did you guys met and how things...
worked out? When we started, before we started, Armin was already a legend. Obviously, he was around the world with Chesto. And actually, Armin van Buuren and Chesto, they were the two gods in dance music for Holland. They were the ambassadors for dance. And then we had our own scene in Holland where we were part of, with Rogan, Eric E., Chucky, Benny Rodriguez, us, Rigergo Salto, Eric E., all those guys were playing. We had a scene going on in Holland. We did 30 shows, I think. A month, really, and that was actually when you were like slow. In summer was like 40, 50 a month, and then that one time in a year or two times, Armin and Chesto were playing, and all the parties were dead. You know, it's like when the Dutch team is playing, no the club games. You know, yeah. Like that's it. Nobody's throwing parties. So, and then internationally, the scene exploded, and then we got out of it, and you have to look at Chesto, Armin, who control it and have to bring new talent. So internationally, you got more in touch with Chesto and Armin. So we got a fight with Armin. He took us and said, oh, I like your guys' style and I think it fits with my style. Come on tour with me. Trance, house, how do you see that? But he already saw, like, you can do whatever you want. You can go all out. And we still invite each other. So that's how we got more friendly until we got this opportunity together in Ibiza.
Ibiza, yeah. Yeah. Residency.
Let's do it. And like, how is this going to work? Another challenge. And now we have to make a track together. And then actually Ryan and I were like,
I'm like, this is not going to happen. Because he really wanted to do it. And we also, but I was like, oh no, we're not going to make any trance. You know, I love trance. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it doesn't fit us.
Yeah.
So it was a hard time to get in the studio with him and do it. Because we were like, oh my God, okay, we need to give a lot of input. So, you know, we don't go every any trancey.
You don't want
to
get bad vibes because you like each other. So yeah, now you're going to be in the studio and he's going to play, oh, I love this. And you're like,
nah.
So, but actually the track is amazing, but the melody, everybody thinks the melody is from Armin, but we made a melody.
Wow.
And he made the beats. So it was like, so what? He came in the studio.
Yeah, he wanted the beats and we were like, no, we have all the beats already, you know, we want something. Yeah.
But that's what Armin said. He said, listen, you know what? To approach it, think about making a track for me in your style. And I will try to make a track for you in my style. So that's the experience he has. So he teaches in that way, the studio vibe you could, and like, oh, that's nice. And then he started laughing, wow, this melody. Oh, maybe we can do this. And like, there you go. And then with the beats, it's like, Armin, maybe this with the beats. There you go. And we had it, actually, we were sitting for like 2 hours and the bass of the track was there.
It's actually, when you go in a studio with a legend like this, it's so easy to work, you know. He's also like, we really want you guys to be happy, you know, and if you don't like any something, just tell me, you know, because then we just take it out.
Yeah.
So it was really easy for us also.
Experience. And
exactly.
has a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And we actually, the relationship with him, it went really natural. It went like every year we see each other, we talk and laugh. And it was not that we met each other, it was immediately friendship, but through the years we know.
Grew up.
Yeah, exactly. And now we signed it and his label with our own label as well. And we see each other more often. And we're becoming closer and closer. So it's fun. Yeah.
What are the advantages of touring and playing together as a duo? Because some people are just one DJ and you are a duo.
Well, the thing is, you travel a lot. Your last few months ago, we did an Asia tour. You do only 12-hour, 15-hour flights. So then you're like, if you're stuck with your own, it's, you know, it's not a lot of fun. But when you can share everything with someone else, you know, that's amazing always, because, you know, we see so many great things, go to amazing clubs, events, festivals, we meet all these great people like you.
Exactly.
You know?
Thank you.
And we can share that. Otherwise.
Exactly. And for us, it is, we grew up and had amazing dreams. You dream about things, and the things we're dreaming of, we are living now, actually. And to share that with each other, look at each other like, wow, you remember when we were walking there with not even a penny in our pocket and dreaming in McDonald's, like eating a burger. Oh, one day maybe we're gonna play there and there. That's the conversation we had. And so it always inspires you, you know. When I look at him, it's inspiring me and to go further and further and set your goals even higher and higher. Because, you know, one day we were like dreaming about playing at Sensation, and now we're having our own stage at Tomorrowland. So you can set your goals higher and higher every time.
And business-wise, it's also when you need to make choices, it's better to do it with the two of you than just on your own.
Really important. I think I would die already without him. So it's. I think that's what we know from each other, that we have a connection, what is successful. Because alone, it would be tougher, I think, with my personality and his personality alone. I think it would be a tough road, yeah.
Did you have some tough times? I don't know. People talk about now about mental illness and you know what happened to Avicii. And I think it's really tough for DJs and artists in general to tour, I don't know, around the world the whole year. How do you cope with these things?
The thing of Tim Avicii hit me personally. I want to talk for, I think Ryan as well, but if I talk for myself, we were in France in the mountain. I got a news and I was really... Yeah, because we in the beginning we were toured with him a lot in his career, and we knew how he think. He never liked DJing. That's the first thing with Avicii. He never liked it. So he pushed himself in something he didn't like. He loved to produce, but playing for a crowd was the toughest thing for him. He was always shaking from the first day. Not even what you saw in a documentary. I think I'm talking about the early days when he started playing. And he always said, "How do you guys like it? You guys like to play?" I said, "Yeah, we love it." So with that say, if you do something you don't like, and I talk about artists in general, I mean, you have artists, they play music they don't like. They just do it because it works. And that will do something in your head. And thankful we together. So I don't know how I was doing it alone, but actually when we're not playing, we talk to each other. So we have therapy. I think it's a little therapy to talk it off. And when you had a bad show or something went wrong, you can talk about it and you feel like a little bit released, you know? And a lot of artists, they keep it all with themselves because they have no one to talk to. So I think that helps a lot as well. But as a human being, we're not the type of people that if we don't like something, then we're gonna do it. So, and some people, they do stuff they don't like because they feel like they have to do it. And we're not the type of people. So we're not really having, and that time, hard time is more that you have to miss your family sometimes when you're on tour. That's the tough times for me in summer. When I don't see my kids for over 10 days, it's tough, only on FaceTime. So that's summertime. That's when I have, it's fun, but also hard at the same time.
Yeah, for us, it's like number one thing is we need to have fun. That's why we started this. And if it's not fun, we will not do that. So our manager, we're giving him a hard time also. You know, I'm like, yeah, this is really good, guys. You need the guys to do this, blah, blah, blah. Like today, we need to do like some interviews here in Romania, and we landed and we didn't eat yet. So it's like, okay, guys, you need to go to the interviews and the radio station, blah. I'm like, no, we need to eat first. Yeah.
You want to have good interviews or you want to have bad interviews?
Yeah. No one is fun with the tummy empty.
Basically, you just need to know yourself and how far you want to go.
Really, yeah, that's true.
There are a lot of DJs that are collaborating with artists. Is there anyone in particular that you guys would like to do a song with or be on stage?
Now right now I think he considered being one of the most craziest guys in the world. I don't think he's really crazy. He's just outspoken and he thinks out loud, but this guy is the genius in the studio. I think Kanye West would be one of the guys I would be loved to work in the studio, because I know for sure something crazy will come out of it.
Because he's also very experimental. When you know, every time sometimes he releases a song and the song is only 2 minutes. You know, like that, because he just likes it like that. And if you listen to his previous albums, every album is so different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, he's just making what he feels. He doesn't go for, oh, this is a trend right now, we jump in it. He just go in the studio and the inspiration he gets, that's what he's throwing out on his tracks. And I can appreciate that, even respect that a lot, that the artists like that are still alive. So we should embrace that, I think.
Hello again and welcome to the Halftime Break. Before we continue, I wanted to give you a bit of context about this interview, because it was originally recorded in December 2018, just before the guys hit the stage at Don't Let Daddy Know in Bucharest. Since then, they released a really great track called Shameless and an EP called Love, Dance and Feel. We will be meeting them in Romania again this year at Saga Festival at the beginning of June, so be sure not to miss them. In the second part of the interview with Sunnery James and Ryan Marciano, we will talk about building a set for a club versus a festival show, the radio show Sexy by Nature and about retiring from music. Enjoy! You guys select your tracks for shows, and what's the difference between, I don't know, a club show and a festival show, or a, I don't know, an event show?
Yeah, to be honest, when we start getting these big shows and festivals, we struggled a little bit to translate our club vibe into a festival crowd, because normally you get only like 60 minutes for a festival show, and in the clubs you can play easily 2 or 3 hours, so we can build a vibe more. So in the beginning we had a tough time to create a showcase set, that's how we call it, and give the same energy, because you don't have time to build it too lot, so you had to bang it from the beginning. But now I think we found the right balance between club and festival on a festival stage to still have the bounce going. And how you select tracks, you just make edits. I mean, we talk about it actually.
And then but more like edits, not like mashups and just put 20 songs in one song together, but more like edits, so the timing is better, you know, for some tracks, because we obviously want to play our own tracks also, but some are very housey, so you can't play the eight minute track in a festival. And that, yeah, that goes along very well.
It's more like the combination with time and energy you try to achieve you're doing your club set, but you make it shorter. It's like a festival edit.
Festival edit. Like radio edit and festival edit.
Exactly.
And it's and it's pretty easy to have the crowd jumping and going wild and amazing, but you want to give them something new also, so you need to be right in between.
The artist part, give you instead of, every DJ knows if you have to play tomorrow in 60 minutes, you pick this track, and everybody will jump and scream. But at the same time, I think as an artist, you can't create fans like that. People should know what you play, you know? Yeah. I can easily play a track of a whole set of Armin, and you think, yeah, that was fun, but it's all Armin tracks or whatever. I think as an artist, you should show yourself. Don't ignore tracks from other DJs, because that's what's fun, that you support each other. But I always try to give your own vibe in a set.
It's kind of funny, because our manager told us last year before we played Tomorrowland, you can't play coffee shop on our main stage. It's impossible. It's not a track like that. And we were like, we don't give a shit. We're just going to play it because we like it.
Yeah. And now it's huge.
And after the show, we went on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
The only track they asked for, honestly, what is coffee shop? What is a coffee shop track? I'm like, you see? Okay, I'm only a manager. You're the artist.
No, because sometimes there's people that are like, okay, it's a main stage, so you need to bang, 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 bang. It's not like that. It's music.
I think the thing is, some people are only taking the jumping as a standard. But I think the smiling faces and the happiness in the crowd.
Yeah, and the feeling that you are there with everybody.
Exactly, because I can jump with my face like this. You know, and you think, oh, they love it. But they think, okay, here we go again. I paid money, so let me jump. Otherwise, we always look at the faces, the smiling face, the happiness, people dancing, moving. I think that's our standard. If people are happy, we are happy. Yeah. Of course, fun to see people jumping. So 2 or 3 times, like you said, come on, let's go, give energy, you know. But we try to keep the balance between that and happiness. Yeah.
Is there a difference in the, I don't know, European shows and the US shows?
Well, in Europe, it's because we're from Amsterdam, it's a lot closer. Yeah, it's not that long of a flight, and the food is always great. Yeah.
Well, I was referring at the audience, but that is a nice insight.
I mean, the US brought us a lot. We have a big following in New York. We love New York. We're going to be there New Year's Eve. But it's a different approach in New York. You have a lot of hypes in music in America and all over the world. But America, it's like when something becomes big, everybody jumps on it. So it's more like, in Holland, they say snowball effect, so everybody's jumping on it, but it's melting at the same time. So what I have to say now in America, the crowd is getting more educated, so the festivals also, they are more divided, so there's a lot of trap going on. They have house, they have a little bit of EDM and hip-hop now on festival stage, because hip-hop is huge now. So what I like of that now in America, and finally that,
and techno is getting big also. Very big,
because dance was really big a few years ago, but it was all the same sounds. So it was this hype on one sound. And for us, it was a little bit frustrating, but the energy was amazing always. I mean, the energy in America is amazing. But for us, it was frustrating that people were only looking at that side of dance music. There was so much more.
Yeah.
So we fought for it from our Europe side, because we're doing this for over 25 years. Fight for it, like, guys, there's more than only this sound, you know? Come on. And now we finally see that America's going more wider with dance music, and it's getting more fun for us as DJs as well. It was always fun, but different, because you had to play with your head more than with your heart. And now finally the heart thing is coming more into it. Yeah.
We talked at the beginning about your underwater set. Yes. How was that?
It was scary.
Scary.
Think yeah, about it. Yeah.
They asked us to do it. Radio 538. We're very close with them. We have our Sexy Manager show on that radio station also. And then they asked us to do it. And we're like, yeah, should we take a submarine? Like a real one, like one from the army, and go make radio, you know, in the ocean. Like, let's do it.
So how deep I went? 20 meters or something?
Something like that. I was so scared.
Oh my God, if something happened.
Yeah, and it was really cold. It was really cold also, but it was really fun to do.
Turn down the volume.
It was really fun to do it.
Yeah, but it was like, it was unique. It was the first time ever DJs were playing underneath, and I think it was fun. A lot of press in Holland, of course. It was fun. It was a small DJ booth, but everybody went wild, so it was fun. It was
really then
fun.
It's not about your set or whatever. It's just about having fun with the people you're there with.
Yeah.
So the next step is to do a show in space?
On the moon and Mars, maybe.
No, Mars is only one way.
only one way.
Oh, true. Moon.
So you want to go?
I'll say it. No, I didn't fuck it up that much yet.
Tell me more about your radio show, Sexy by Nature. Whose idea was to make this kind of show?
It came from us. We pushed for it to our management for a year before, and they said, no, not yet. And then we went to the office one day, like, this, I don't know what you guys gonna do, but we're gonna start this radio show.
Also because we got so much promos and good music from other producers, and we just want to play it because we want people to hear it.
Yeah. And we didn't have a name. We didn't have a name, so we went online on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, and said, listen, okay, how are the people describing our sound? Because at the end of the day, you want to involve your fans, and if you're going through a radio show, what do they like? And the majority said, like, sexy sounds, natural, tribal. Yeah. And we said, well, what can we do? And we walked out of the room, and I slipped. I said, sexy by nature. And everybody stopped walking, like, what do you say? Sexy by nature? I said, no, it's nothing. And then Ryan said something like, yeah, this is it, sexy by nature. And Jasper, like, yeah, let's do it. And then after a week after, we made a deal with Sync, who's syncing radio for worldwide. And we had our first show. And
it was really hard to make an hour radio. It took us like 4 hours. yeah.
I know.
But now you get into it. We sometimes do 2-3 shows a day, and it's so much fun. We're getting. I think we like it more and more every week.
Yeah.
So maybe one day we gotta be in a radio.
That
you never know.
Nice.
You never know.
That's my dream as well, to do a show on the radio.
I think you would do it very good.
I'm starting with the podcast right now. It's easier.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. What advice do you have for a new DJ that is coming now, that is trying to make his way in today's scene?
If I can talk for us, for me, the most important thing I learned during our career, to stay close to yourself and play what you feel. Not play what you think will work, but play what you feel. That's the only way you can be an artist. If you play what you think you should play, you're just playing music what's out there, and go in and we always try to see where it comes from. We went into house music, okay, where did this music started? So we read about DJ Pierre, Frankie Knuckles, all those guys who paved the way for us, you know. So it's important, if you want to be someone, you have to know where it comes from and embrace it and put your own stamp on it. So we listen to Frankie Knuckles, Pierre, Morello, Sanchez, Solveig, Bob Sinclair, David Guetta, all those early pioneers, you know. And we create our own sound of Massive Work. It was one of the biggest inspirations. So the tribal sounds we found there, together with the sound of Steve Angelo when he came up. We're like, what the fuck is this? And then we combine all those sounds and we create our own Sonnery and Ryan sound. And I think that's how we went. If you just be a DJ and play what's hot, then you just, yeah, a top 40 DJ. I'm sorry to say this, but that's not how you become an artist, I think. So
and really work your ass off. Don't sleep.
Yeah.
Keep going. Believe in yourself and show the people what you got.
Yeah. Get inspired by your heroes. Stay close to yourself, but don't copy your heroes. Just try to be you and feel what you like. I mean, you know, we had heroes, but we didn't like everything about our heroes.
Yeah, and took a bit from there.
Exactly. And then you create your own sound. I can hear a track now, and I know for sure I don't have to ask Ryan if he likes it, because we know what we want. And even if the track is good, we know it's not good for us. Yeah. For example, Animals, amazing tune from Martin Garrix. Everybody played it. We never played it. And not because we don't like Martin, he's a good friend of ours, we love him, but the track didn't fit our set,
yeah,
so we don't play it. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know any Romanian DJs, producers?
To be honest, I met a guy, his name is, oh my God, this is funny, oh, this is so funny. What is his name again?
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how to spell it as well, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I met him. He was a really nice guy, good energy, and he was like, oh, I love what you guys do. And he's playing nice music, yeah.
How do you balance your busy tour life with family and responsibilities beyond music?
Wow, I think
for you it's harder. You have
now. He has a family as well, so we both on the same level
you
now.
Have a kid.
And the thing is, I think it's plan. You have to plan really good. You have to talk to your management exactly. Tell them how you want it. My wife is busy as well, and we make. But we want a family, so you have to take responsibility. And it's just management and planning. And in the summer it's hard for us, what I said before, but during, I think out of summer we have an almost a normal family life, I think.
Yeah, people think we're from home like every day and a whole week, but we only travel the weekends almost, so then so the rest the of the week we're at home. And it's more like you need an understanding from home also, because if they don't understand what you're doing, yeah, you're basically fucked.
Yeah, it would never work. Yeah. If your wife doesn't understand, you can better say, okay, that's it. So that's a big benefit. I mean, they always say behind every strong man there's a stronger woman, and that's what it is, actually. I mean, if we have women at home who are like complaining all the time with the kids, it would be a tough time. I think it would stop already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? I would make my schedule even busier.
Do you guys think that you have reached your peak in your musical career, or are you still at the beginning? There's more to come.
Let me tell you what I said before, setting your goals higher and higher. When we played Sensation in Amsterdam, we were like, what's next? This is the highest you can reach. And now you're having your own stage or festivals. You're playing main stage Tomorrowland, an amazing time. So you can set your goals. Sometimes you don't want to think that big, but you have to think at the biggest, and then you can see you can achieve things. So every time, still, it's almost 10 years, we still feel like we're starting. So, and Armin always said this before, and now I understand what he say, because sometimes you think, okay, I can't reach it, and you reach it, and like, okay. So you can set your goals even higher now. So maybe the thing on the moon is not even it's a dream, but maybe we can make it happen to play on the moon and the whole world is watching.
If you would quit right now, I would feel like, yeah, it was fun, but it wasn't like special.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
Yeah, because we're still like, we have so much energy and we have so much inspiration musical-wise also. You know, we're not finished.
But sometimes we stand still and look back at movies and videos, and then you get, wow, we're doing it. We did an amazing job. Sometimes you have to stand still, look where you are, and feel blessed for what you achieved, you know? And because as a DJ, I always focus for the next thing. Yeah. So it's if you ask the DJ, oh, how do you feel? And you feel like, I feel like I'm just starting. And you're like, what? If I look online, you did a lot of amazing.
You're huge.
Yeah. So that's we do now and then. We go on YouTube or we're looking at old videos and we look at each other, start laughing, smiling, and you have all those memories. So we're doing that nowadays, but we
keep more
focused.
People around you do it, so then you get to see it also, but. Because when you're like finishing a set in a festival, amazing festival for like 30,000-40,000 people, you think already like, okay, tomorrow we need to go there and then we need to do this.
Keep focused, studio,
yeah.
It works.
So Yeah, it's not like we're spoiled. Not like that.
We know that we're very, very, very blessed, and if we can do what we love, that's a blessing for life. I mean, we all have that. Yeah.
Do you have like breaks? I don't know, like 2 months with no touring.
It's almost the time. Almost.
January, right?
Yes, January, February. We basically do nothing. This year in January, we have we're doing 12 shows in a row, but it's in Holland. So it's
close.
Going to a show for 20 minutes and go back home. So that's vacation, actually.
And every year we're like, okay, next year is going to be like less shows.
And every year is more shows.
And every year it's more. Yeah, it's getting busier and busier. So yeah, it's a good thing also, of course.
And actually, how we achieved this was really as DJs. And the last year and a half, we started focusing more on writing songs. And that's also real new era for us, because we never did it. We always make club songs and the cool underground stuff, and now we're making songs more we can cross over to radio, and you see what happens when that is a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
I had a long conversation with David Guetta about this. He said, Sunry, that's why it feels like you're just starting, because it's a whole new world was gonna open up for you. You're gonna get a lot of new haters.
A lot
of new lovers, but that's part of the game.
Definitely.
Yeah,
new haters.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Do you think about retiring? I don't know. 20 years from now, I don't know.
It's hard to say, because if I look at Guetta and Chesto and Armin, what I said before, if you can do something to people to make them so happy and make yourself happy, it's hard to get to stop with something like that. You know, it's almost addictive to get this feeling, this energy, and this positive energy. It's not even about your ego. It's more about what you achieve with the energy, that people can smile and having a good time, think, forget about the problems and have a good time. And if you can be part of it in the middle of that, it feels like, wow, we can do this through music. It's always special. Yeah. It's always special. Yeah. So retiring maybe when I'm 80?
Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. Yeah,
maybe
let's do an interview.
Play less. Let's say still playing, but instead of doing 15 shows a month, doing 4 shows a month. You know, maybe something like that.
Like, yeah. Like Hardwell, he just mentioned like a few months ago, like he's going to quit for a little bit, probably.
For a little bit.
I have no clue what I'm going to do. I'm going to be home doing what?
Don't think about it.
What would you do without?
Yeah, exactly. I have no clue.
Still playing in your living room, I think.
Yeah, well.
Come on, kids, everybody, hands up!
Yeah. So now we will see. I mean, we live second by second. We see what happens. We enjoy every single moment of our career. And as long as we have fun, we keep on going. And keep the balance between health, family, love, and doing what you love in your work, music. If that balance is right, I think if we're happy like that, this can go for a long time. So we see. Yeah. Life is always full of surprises.
Yeah, and you have to enjoy every day.
Exactly.
Because
you never know when is the last day.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you. It was a really, really great interview. Yeah,
really nice.
Hope to, looking forward to see you tonight.
Thank you.
I must say, you had amazing questions, and it was fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Every interview of mine, almost every interview, ends with this phrase. It is Acestea zint fise. You're going to have to say it. It means that being said. Like, that being said, this interview. So you're going to have to say Acestea zint fise.
Acestea zint fise.
That was good. Your turn.
Acestea zint fise.
Yeah, that was good. Now together.
Acestea. Okay.
Acestea.
1, 2, 3, go.
Acestea zint fise.
Yeah, perfect.
I didn't say anything.
That was sneaky.
Acestea zint fise. Acestea zint fise.
Acestea zint fise.
Acestea zint fise. One more time. Wait. One more time. 3, 2, 1.
Acestea zint fise.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Boom.
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 Thank you for coming backstage with Sunnery James and Ryan Marciano. This was a really fun interview, and the guys were so great. If you enjoyed this episode, and whether you listen to it on your iPhone, on Spotify, on YouTube, or on my website backstage.fm, I would really appreciate if you could give me a rating on Apple Podcast when you have the time. For feedback or complaints, you can text me anytime on Instagram @panduzu, or you can leave a comment on the episode on backstage.fm. See you in a couple of weeks with another episode in English from Backstage.